And we are live. This is Rob Rowe, standing in for Debbie Dashinger of the Dare to Dream podcast. And I have the wonderfully good fortune to be here with Karen Reese. Karen, thanks for coming on the podcast.
Well, thank you for having me. When you say live, are you mean live with the dead? It's kind of an oxymoron. But the dead never stiff you, just say it.
Okay. Never a dull moment with Karen. I want to just jump into a lot of stuff that's just on my mind. But just for our listeners, let's get the high level overview. What have you been doing? How did you start out, and how did you drop into your present field of work?
Well, you know what? Actually, I was born this way. I'm a psychic and a medium, so I see past, present, and future, and speak to the dead. But along the way, it's first of all, I should back it up. It's on my mom's side, so her side tended to have a lot of psychic mediums. But along the way, in my life, I have done many things. I've worked as a stockbroker, which I do a lot with clients with businesses and what have you. So I do a lot of business related activities. I love those tech stocks, just saying, But I was 7 years old when I predicted my dad's death, and then I 3 weeks later, he dropped dead of a stroke unexpectedly, both my brother and myself, and that's when we realized, we were really psychics. Along the way, my mom would say things, I saw three monks, there's a plane crash, and as kids, we would see things, four, five, and six, we'd go shopping and see dead people, or I would know things ahead of time, but I thought it was normal.
So it didn't freak you out? They were just like other people you would see, kind of like in the movie.
Oh yeah, I was just whatever, It is what it is. Although it does create awkward teenage moments, but that's a whole other story.
Yeah.
Like when the heartthrob's father just dies, and you're in eighth grade class, and suddenly you get called on, and you mention that Paul's father had died, and you're like, oops, because he was standing there talking to me.
So how was it that you got into these other careers? Did you kind of push your gift sort of to the background, kind of back burner for a while you, just pursued, some other business, more mainstream interests, shall we say?
Well, that's a good question, because there's a lot of people in my family that have this ability. And I tell people, everybody has a little bit of ability. Everybody can draw a stick figure. Not everybody's a Da Vinci. But it just was something that I, school was very important to me. I thought about being a plastic surgeon. I was smart in science. I was also artistically gifted, so I could draw portraits. I do some of that in my readings occasionally. So that's how I ended up going down that road. And within my first year of college, I realized, that I couldn't take really smelly smells in laboratory classes at 7. And I saw an advertisement to be a stockbroker, so I went down, took the test, and then got into that. Learned a lot about business. It was a great opportunity.
Oh, that.
Yep, great cold calling. Loved it. B2B. Most people don't like it. I loved it. I thrived in it. So it was a lot of fun. It was engaging. And I knew I would do this eventually full time. I thought, when I'm 60, I'll do it. But it's funny, the universe just pushes you. And so I did that for a number of years, probably 5-6 years, a lot of sales and what have you, and then eventually rolled into my business full time, my practice.
Well, I like those kind of jobs. That's what I do now. I'm in a real estate finance business.
That's why I thought we'd bond over that. I had a feeling. Yeah.
Similar kind of thing. And I enjoy it. The people I connect with are mostly on LinkedIn, so I see a little bit about what they're about. So we can usually pick, one or two points to build some rapport on or something like that. And it's all about making new friends. It kind of seems like to me, and it's never annoying, even if somebody is not in the mood for the conversation or what we have. Hey, thanks anyway, man. I can't talk to you, right now, but I appreciate the call. It's all very nice. And then the people that are into it, it's a fun conversation. And if you can help people build their wealth, then that's cool.
Well, and I think people mistake, salespeople as, there's good and bad, but we're problem solvers. At least when I worked in sales, and I have a business now in my practice, but like you, you're a problem solver.
Totally.
And we do great things to get people to the next level. So we work our magic.
Well, it almost, I'm guessing here, it's probably a little bit of a problem solver situation in your work with those who have passed, because there are probably so many unresolved relationship issues,
yes,
I would think.
Totally.
And I had an experience with a psychic just a few weeks ago, a wonderful friend of Debbie's named Julie, and we did about a 2.5-hour session, something like that. And we got into a lot of stuff with my mom. My mom was a wonderful woman, great mother, really meant well, but she was tumultuous to deal with in many ways. And oftentimes I would find myself, reliving conversations, thinking, I wish I would have said something differently. Maybe I said something to her that was a little hurtful, or, I was a very good son most of the time, and she was a very good mom vast majority of the time, but we had our friction here and there. And when I was with Julie, she said, well, you know, your mom's here. Is there anything you want to tell her? I said, you know, tell her, you know, I'm sorry if I was ever, you know, not the best possible son. And she goes, no, don't even think about it. She's saying, you know, she's the one who's sorry. And, she really loves you, and she really wants the best for you, and she wants to just dissipate any of this friction. I swear to God, never since then have I ever thought a discordant thought about my mom. So it really turned things around. I think isn't there a huge potential for people to really have healing experiences like that?
Oh, it is. In fact, one time this is many, many years ago, I was doing a group party, and I'll never forget when I walked in, there was a gentleman there, and I said, oh, no, you have to stay. Because on the way there, I had this woman, you know, I'm related, you know, I'm the gentleman, I'm his sister, whatever. I knew nothing what was going on. So I insisted, I said, I really do need to speak to you. I know you're around all these women, you need to come down and let's, you know, get down to business. Anyways, I said, your sister's here. She was murdered. Her husband's still in the living. His name is Jimmy. Her name was Andrea or whatever the name was. And she wants you to move forward. And I went on and on with some other detailed information. And I'll tell you, afterwards he said to me, you know, this session was better than seeing a psychologist that I've been dealing with for 13 years. Because for 13 years he was trying to manage his emotions and try to move back, you know, move into the better place. But, you know, he finally had contact with the other side. And I've seen the other side, too. I go out of body a lot. I hit a near death. So I tell people, God didn't want me, the devil didn't like me, but they sent me back here to pay taxes. Go figure.
Well, that kind of brings us to another fascinating subject to me. I am such a huge fan of ancient history. Anything to do with the Persians, Romans, the Greeks, anything that this fellow Robert Schock's talking about, you know, Egyptians, the Göbekli Tepeans, Peruvians, all of this kind of stuff, I think it's just incredibly interesting. Now, you had mentioned that you're a psychic historian, too. Mm-hmm. And this kind of gets to about what we were talking about a little bit earlier with people like Julia Mossbridge, who have the ability to sort of transcend time, to sort of, you know, rise above, maybe you call it another dimension or something like that. I mean, physicists have talked for a long time about, you know, time being in some ways nonlinear or different in some physical realms than it is as we perceive it on a day-to-day basis. Would you agree? Are there certain points where time behaves quite differently than in this realm?
Absolutely. In fact, in this realm, scientists have now proven that we've sped up our time by 2 or 3 minutes in the last year. I heard that by actual scientists in this realm. But in other realms, yeah, time is just a whole different place. It's not linear. So sometimes you're at a standstill, sometimes it goes fast. It just depends on where you are. Even Einstein theorized that time on the other side was different than it is here. You know, we're very linear. So interesting.
Can you get into any more detail about how you would actually characterize it from the standpoint of physics? Is there a way where we can actually transcend the earthly view of time and maybe move to the future, move to the past? Once we get into the realm of precognition, that's toward the future.
Oh, yeah.
But you mentioned the psychic historian thing, and plus you mentioned work that you've done with law enforcement, going back and you know, finding details about possible crime scenes, things like that. But just for my own curiosity, what about the Greeks or the Persians or the Romans? Can you see what went on maybe at certain battles or something?
Oh, yeah. I can go back in time, you know, and I could go forward. You can do it in a meditation, or you can do it, you know, in your dream state, or as a psychic. When I'm using my psychic, I'll go back in time and I'll see how people, you know, what they thought, how they felt, how they lived, an experience. When I do murder cases, I relive the experience of the murderer as well as the victim. So I can actually go in, and it's like, for me, I see like a television screen, so I really get immersed into that, which you can do, because again, if you go into the non-time-space linear type of thing, if you go into the other side by meditation or out-of-body experiences, you can see how everything sort of fills in.
Okay. Yeah. Have you ever worked with any of the guys that have really popularized history in the podcast realm, you know, like maybe like Daniele Bellelli or Dan, seems eluding me at the moment. Anybody like that to maybe fill in some gaps? Because a lot of these guys are always talking about, well, oh, this is what we know and this is what we don't know. We have to kind of speculate here and there, that sort of thing.
Well, funny you should say that. I was doing a show for Discovery many, many years ago, and I received a package on Monday. I didn't open it up. And they said, we want you to take a look at it. Anyways, long story short, I kept getting this thing about Egypt and pyramids in Egypt. So when I grabbed this package, like 3 days later, I put my hand in, all of a sudden I felt sick to my stomach. And I pull it out, and there was sand in it. I said, this is Egyptian sand. And as I pulled it out, I started getting pictures in my mind and how it related to the pyramids, the Sphinx, and so on and so forth. And looking below psychically, I mean, I could see things along, buried beneath, like the Sphinx, and things that have effects onto our life here, which I think one of the reasons why the Egyptians don't want to dig deeper is they don't want to ruin something that, you know, that we may not be ready for. As far as working with other people, I haven't in that capacity, but in my own edification and my own way of doing things, I've worked on many different projects and see things.
Okay. Let me ask you about a slightly different topic. One thing that has been brought up, you know, from time to time from, I don't know if you've really mentioned it per se, but the role of ethics in things like financial dealings. Now, you mentioned you worked as a stockbroker. Now, it's almost like, you know, somebody who gets a magic genie bottle and the genie comes out and says, you know, I'll give you three wishes. He says, hey, I only need one. I want to know what the stock market's doing this time next month. Or I want to get a magical newspaper in my box that, you know, tells me the stock prices in advance. You would really only need one wish if you could really get that, and then your ticket's bought.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, does ethics play a role in the capabilities of your ability? I mean, let's say, you know, you wanted to raise money to do something evil versus raising money to, you know, do something like, you know, Bill and Melinda Gates do or something like that. Would that affect your ability to actually perform that kind of psychic work? Or are we just dealing with science? Is it completely agnostic to the ethics involved?
Well, I personally do follow my own ethics. I use it to manage my own business. I think if you have a gift, you can use it good or bad. You have the gift regardless. But to me, like I was stating to people earlier, if I have a client, I don't want to see you for at least 6 months. When you have somebody that repeatedly says, come back and see me, then, you know, that's a challenge, you know, as far as being a psychic medium. As far as applying it to the stock market, I mean, I always try to live by ethics and values because personally what goes around comes around. You know, that's my belief system. You know, and I don't think it can curtail or stop your abilities if you're doing something in a naughty way, but... you know, why do it in the first place?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, there's nothing bad about wanting to make a lot of money. I mean, you know, people can use it for anything they want. Let's assume somebody's going to use it for a good thing, you know, just to live his life well and maybe do some philanthropy or something like that. Is it truly possible to apply psychic abilities to stock market? And how does that work? What would be an example? Do you look at the stock chart?
Me personally? I mean, probably.
You study the business model of the company? Yeah, what would you do?
Well, funny you should say that. To me, money's an exchange of energy, like I'm sure you agree. And what you put in is what you get out. So I don't look at it the way most people do. Everybody, you know, you get people that look at it one extreme or the other extreme. When I'm doing work with clients, and I've done one case when I worked with this FBI agent, I remember seeing psychically these, was it TWO or TXO? I can't remember what the trade was. At the time, I was out of the market. I wasn't doing anything. And I said, you need to buy it. All I could tell you is within 7 days, it's going to go up really high, and then it's going to go down, so you want to get in and get out. And that's exactly what it was. So I see it like a TV screen. Yeah. I don't sit down. I don't analyze the stocks or anything from that perspective, although I can take a look and take a left brain look at it.
So you can kind of visually see the stock chart?
Yep, I get like a little
looking at
symbol.
E-Trade or something.
Yeah, exactly. You must be psychic. I knew I liked you, but yeah, that's exactly what it is. I get like a little TV screen, so I'll see something psychically, and I'll be like, "Oh, buy this stock or that stock." Now I know, like in my own portfolio, I'll look at different things and say, "Oh, I like this or that." I like tech stocks, but I do that on the left brain side because I like what they stand for. How you know they're always going to be used. Google's a top platform, so you know that they're always going to be a positioned stock. But as far as, like, psychically, I'll get things just like a little TV screen. And by the way, I've given out winning lottery numbers, too.
Really?
But I tell people, if you're destined to get them, I had a laugh one time. My mom called. She goes, oh, you know, Uncle Pat's going to Vegas. He wants to know. And I said, well, Mom, you know, you're supposed to get it when you're supposed to get it. I don't see this, but I see 5 lottery numbers. And he lost in Vegas, but when he came back, he played those 5 lottery numbers. And 5 out of the 7 numbers he hit. I should have taken a commission, though. But
yeah,
I didn't,
no,
you know. Yeah.
So,
wow. Yeah, he won a nice chunk of change. But again, he was destined to you know, get that. And he was a very giving person anyway. So if anybody deserved it, he deserved it. You know.
Okay. What else were we?
We've got so much.
Yeah. Let's get into like the criminal investigations a little bit, or let me ask you, what has happened lately that might be new on the scene for you? Any particular thing that you know might not be in your material or your books or anything like that? Any like really new developments in the field?
Well, I have the Karen Reese Show, so we do that every week where we have an audience and usually about 80 people, and then we throw that back out on television. I'll tell you, speaking about murder, and this is where I'm kind of relating this, I'll never forget, I was telling somebody this earlier, where prior to going on set or prior to, my days when I have clients, I'll get information, whether it's a dead person, whether it's just something past, present, or future. And I remember before I went on set, and I said, we've got murders today. We've got murders. And, I had 100 people, and I had 5 different people with 5 different murder connections, none of which were related. I remember walking in and saying, you've got a murder, there's one here, I have people all around me. It was crazy. And I thought, what are the odds of that when you look at the numbers, and you're a numbers person like I am, but to have 5 different people out of 100 people unrelated with all different murder cases, and I have 5 different victims trying to connect with me. I also did I was a guest on Ghost Bait, which will be coming out pretty soon. And that's a great show, too, if anybody likes anything that's got a real interesting spin on the paranormal.
Now, can you shut this off and on?
I get bleed-throughs. So a lot of times I'll be driving, and I'll be like, oh, I'm picking up Uncle Charlie in the back seat, Or I'll get stuff about the future, and I just let it flow. Eventually, it'll, make
so
a connection.
It's been going on all your life, so you just kind of accept it as, part and parcel of who you are and doesn't really disturb you? Or did it ever? You mentioned earlier that you just thought it was just how everybody was or something.
Yeah, I thought it was.
Right?
And you never want to tell your doctor your voice is in your head. I've said that before. They might think you're schizo. Your voice isn't, But no, I just take it for what it is. Just like most people, you get thoughts. It's like, yeah, okay, whatever. I've had instances where I've gone to bed at night and I've had people, touch me or pull the covers off my bed. All sorts of crazy things, so.
That's going to be a little annoying.
Yeah,
it's like leave me alone. I want to sleep.
It's like, go do the dishes. Exactly, yeah. But I don't really, it doesn't really bother me. I believe in God, so I'm not real worried about, the other side. But I have had moments where they've harassed me. But there are times, too, where, people are just anxious. You're going to see my mother today, or whatever. I've been in the shower before, and I've had visitors. Poor things. I feel sorry for them,
Wow, so you got such a broad spectrum. The other thing I was thinking about is the past life regression thing. Now, that can be just interesting and fun, and it could probably also be very therapeutic. So, I've had glimpses. Played around with some altered states in a very focused way, and I have what I think were some. I think I have one of these guys that has a little bit of gift, but I don't have a ton. So I kind of, always kind of waffle between, was that my imagination? I don't completely trust it. Whereas you, there's probably no doubt. If you see something, you see it for sure. Now, what are some examples of, some of the things as far as, past lives where you've really, been able to provide some concrete benefit for somebody in their life other than just something that was maybe fun and entertaining?
That's a great question. And I'll tell you, I do past lives probably a little different than most people. I'll take somebody into like a meditative state, a light hypnotic state. And while they're going through it, before I say anything, I'm watching in my mind. I'm like, okay, see this person maybe as a Civil War person. And then they'll say, I was a Civil War person. So I'm like ahead of the game. So for me, I can see ahead of the game and know where we're going to go. So if I see something detrimental, I can kind of, prevent them from having a bad reaction. So in a case where I had somebody where they had lost an arm in this current life as a result of a motorcycle accident, I took them back into a place where their arm was actually cut off in a battle. And it was very traumatic in both instances. And in this lifetime, as it turned out, that he was trying to heal that previous experience of having lost his arm in a battle. So in this lifetime, he lost it in a motorcycle accident, but that was to relate to that past life.
Oh,
so it was pretty traumatic.
That's a tough way to have a lesson. Wow, that's harsh. So, this is something I'm sure people are going to be most interested in more than anything else. Is how, since you would probably agree, everybody has some ability, even if it's minuscule. Some people have more than others. Some people may be more teachable than others. Some people may have some moderate amount of natural talent, but with some good training, it can really come out and maybe do something really useful in their lives. Do you have any kind of academy or certification or anything you do with really you know, helping people at least get on the path to doing what you do?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm very fussy because there's a lot of people claiming to be able to do all sorts of... the problem with this industry, let me just back it up, is that anybody can hang a shingle up, but not everybody really has the ability. It's very unregulated. You know, everybody could draw a stick figure, not everybody is a Da Vinci. And, you know, with my type of work, I'm very specific. Names, numbers, dates, and times, past, present, and future. And I get weird names, too. And I won't say, oh, you know, you're connected to a John. I'll say, Howard's your brother, or whatever. When I've taught classes before, I actually allow people into my class, I do a pre-screening. The problem with the industry is everybody wants to make money, I hate to say this, and there are a lot of people that will just take everybody and anybody, and I don't think that's really healthy because you may be taking people that really...
You're giving people false hope that they can maybe do something they'll never really be able to do.
Or they could be dangerous because there's people out there that say dangerous things. So, you know, for the integrity of this industry, as far as that's concerned, and just basic ethics. You know, there's nothing worse than having a bad product go out there because it reflects poorly on all of us. And it is true, we all do have a little bit of ability. But again, you know, like I tell people, everybody can draw stick figures, but not everybody's a Da Vinci. You know, everybody has talent, but not everybody's gifted. You know, and we all have our gifts. You know, everybody has, you know, their gifts. And it's using it for the right reason. It's all about intention.
Is there any criteria that a person could use to determine if it's worthwhile pursuing some training in this field?
Yes, you know, if they get a lot of visions that they don't understand or they're curious about it, you know, slowly, you know, start reading up on it and see where you fit in. You know, that's probably a good stepping stone. You know, you can talk to different people, look at people that may, you know, talk to other psychics, legitimate psychics, people that, you know, you have received good information about that have good reputations, and maybe talk to them a little bit to see what their thoughts are. But again, you know, a lot of people want to be psychics nowadays, and there's no regulation. So everybody, and most people do have some psychic abilities, not that we don't, but, you know, there's a difference between, you know, a mathematician and somebody that can do, you know, basic accounting.
So if somebody does indicate to you through maybe a questionnaire or interview process or whatever, they do have, you know, some potential and they would like to do some study with you, how do the mechanics of that work? Is it like just a one-on-one thing, or do you do
usually do classes? Yeah, and it's good because you want people to play off of each other. You know, you give them different projects and so on and so forth. But I do like a pre-screening to make sure. I mean, the last class I did, and it's been a while. We had like 40 people, and I only took 10 because I'm not going to bring people in for whatever reason if they don't have the core values or they don't have, you know, the raw talent. Or if there's some sort of nutcase, you know, you got to be careful too, because you never know what's going to come out of it. Because when you're doing this type of work and you really start doing deep work, a lot of things can come to the surface, you know. Okay. And if you don't have your own psychological, if you can't manage your own emotions, then this isn't always a place to be. Because if you can't manage your emotions, how are you going to help somebody else?
Yeah, it seems like, you know, you could dangerous. Only make it more so, you know, if you're on the edge somehow. You know, so it seems like, you know, somebody who's got some problems and got some talent, that would be a very bad combination.
Right.
One could make the other worse, it would seem, maybe. I don't know.
That's like I tell everybody, you know, Jack the Ripper probably had a lot of friends. You just wouldn't want him to have them over dinner, you know, for dinner, so. Let alone give him ginsu knives, just as a sidebar.
No kidding. Well, that's awesome. I think we've covered most of the things I wanted to cover. There's one other thing. When we're talking about time, and you were talking about getting into a meditative state, there's a lot of people out there, if you talk to them privately, they'll talk a lot about plant medicines.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, you know, are concerned about legal ramifications, that may be what they want to admit publicly versus tools that they might be using responsibly with themselves, or maybe, you know, group, you know, ayahuasca ceremony or something like that, or more mushrooms. Do those kind of things figure into your work at all, or do you find them to be at all useful to even consider for this type of thing?
You know, I'm open-minded. I'm, you know, all about naturopathic remedies if they do work. I don't do a ton of it. I believe in supplementation. So I don't really use those. I don't do smudging because I'm a sensitive. So for me, I get migraines real easy, and it bothers my asthma. That's why I laugh when people used to say, I'll put a candle on. No, don't do me any favors. Thank you. I'm insensitive for a reason, you know, sinusy. But, you know, I do believe that there are effective, you know, homeopathic remedies and things along that line. And sure, you know, if it works for you, why not? I don't technically work with them. I make recommendations, check this, try that, or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, is there anything else you could think of that you would like to let our listeners know about before we wrap up?
You've got a wonderful show.
Okay.
But you don't have to be psychic. Just watch.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Oh, Karen, thank you for your generosity of time. This is Rob and Debbie Dashinger with the Dare to Dream podcast. We are here at the Conscious Life Expo. Signing off. Over and out.
Bye.